Let us sing and dance.
We will love God with all our hearts.
Let us weep and pray.
We will love God with all our souls.
Let us learn and grow.
We will love God with all our hearts.
Let us work for good.
We will love God with all our strength.
Let us open our lives to love.
We give I think we give ourselves to God best when we live into the calling God has placed before us. The calling to share love and peace. The calling to become one body. So here and now this morning I say to you, the peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Now share it with one another.
I'm coming for you.
Good morning, peace. Good morning. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Happy birthday,
Tristan. Peace, Hal. Peace, Webb. Peace, Bronley. Peace, Ann. Good morning. Peace.
Peace. Let's just stay up here. We'll take time to get back.
Peace. Peace be with you. Nick, peace. Willa, peace be with you. Good morning, peace. Peace be with you. Peace. Peace, Irving. Oh, peace be with you. Sisters and brothers, I say to you on this glorious morning, good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of the one we follow, I bid you welcome. Welcome to a time of rest and reflection. May this be a time where you find sanctuary amidst the busyness and stresses of your life. Welcome to a place of music and meaning. May this be a place where you find sanctuary amidst the many noises and distractions of this world. Welcome to this family of covenant and connection. May this be a gathering where you find sanctuary amidst the brokenness and isolation that pervades our existence. For this is a time that's dedicated to the love of God and the love of neighbor. This is a place where we come face to face with Christ. And this is a family uplifted and guided by the Spirit moving through our midst. So know this, no matter who you are, no matter who you love, what kind of body you have, or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here this day and every day. I invite you to take a look at the green sheet that is inside of your bulletins. It looks very much like this one. It has a group of invitations on it, things for you to consider as a way to grow more deeply connected to this time, this place, and to this family. Take a peek and then take it home with you. I would invite anyone who has an announcement to make on behalf of the life of our community to come forward to this microphone to do it. As they come forward, I would direct our visitors here to these cards that are in each and every pew. If you fill this out and give me a way to contact you, whether you are from Scotland or whether you are from Door County, Wisconsin, as there are people here this morning, know that I will reach out and I will contact you. Margaret.
Good morning. I'm Margaret Hornick, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Berkshire Association. I want to call your attention to a special item in this green sheet, opportunities for engagement, Janet McKinstry installation. This is going to occur next Sunday, a week from today, 2:00 in the afternoon at the Richmond Congregational Church. Our own Janet McKinstry is going to be installed there as the called pastor. Those of you who have been here for a few years know her as a beloved interim as an intern when she was under care before that, and as Doug's wife, and as just an all-round extraordinary, wonderful person. So I hope as many as possible can be there to show our love and support for her at this very important time in her career. Brent has made a sign-up sheet in the JE room where we would like you to indicate interest. It's not a binding commitment, but if you think you will be able to go, please put your name on that sheet. It's on the table. In addition, after the installation, there will be the meeting of the Berkshire Association, and that will be special for us in another way because it's going to feature music by Berkshire composers of hymns and liturgical music. So it will feature Anne, Janet's mother, and David Anderegg and Quintessential. And so it connects with us in a number of ways. In addition, John McKinstry will be involved in the installation process. So I think this will be a special event, and I hope many of us will be able to be there. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Lisa Nelson, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Board of Trustees and really the whole church to invite you to Fall Cleanup Day. Hopefully it will be as beautiful as it is today. It's November 8th, a Saturday, from 9 to 1. There will be opportunities for people who like to sit and work. We'll be moisturizing and polishing the pews. Very relaxing, very meditative. I encourage you. But for active people and those who like to wear equipment and use it, there will be outdoor activities as well, leaf blowing, etc. So we will feed you with pizza from Berkshire Mountain Bakery, so it's going to be a good time. It's the 8th. It says November 8th at 9. Is it listed wrong? Anyway, Saturday the 8th. So I'll see you there.
Good morning. I'm Mary Jo Erickson Connor. I have the honor of directing the handbells, and we have new tables. We have new foam. We have finely tuned bells. We just need one thing. At our first rehearsal, there were four of us. We need bell ringers. So Monday, 4:30, is our new rehearsal time, and you're welcome to contact me. Looking forward to lots of new faces. We make wonderful music, but we need some more hands. So join us.
Hi, I'm Casey Jones, and I'm part of the Mission and Action Committee, and this is Noah. And today is the 26th Annual Construct Walk, and it's a beautiful day to walk, and we're going to be walking, and if you want to join us, that would be great. All we need are donations. It's a wonderful organization, so see me at coffee hour if you want to make a donation. Thank you so much.
This is a life and a place that is full with opportunity for engagement, and I hope you will take us up on that. But this is a time that has been made for the worship of God. And so as we continue our worship, I would invite all of the children who are present to come on up and join me right over here. Face me up here. Come on up. There's a great crowd this morning. Oh, it is so good to see everybody. How are you all this morning? Sounds less than convincing, but I'll trust you. So I want to ask you a question. I want you to imagine something for me. I want you to think of a person in your life that loves you a whole lot. Maybe it's somebody who comes to all of your school activities. Maybe it's somebody who helps you with your homework. Maybe it's somebody who likes to play with you or brings you ice cream. I want you to imagine somebody who loves you a whole lot. Do you have somebody in mind? Okay, so keep that person in mind. Now I want you to imagine that that person wants to ask a favor of you. They want you to do something for them. And since they're so nice to you and do so many wonderful things for you, when they say, "Can you do me a favor?" what would you say? Yeah. A little bit louder. What would you say?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. All right. But now this person is kind of going to ask you a big favor. They're going on a trip, and they want you to take care of their beloved pet, an animal that they love with their whole heart. Could you do that? All right. This is the animal they want you to take care of. Do you know what kind of animal this is?
A pig.
So imagine that someone's leaving and asks you to take care of a pig. Has anyone here taken care of a pig before? I actually have. My grandfather was a farmer, so I have. But so let me ask you this question. If it was a baby pig like this one, what do you think you would do to take care of that pig? Give it milk, right? Maybe even out of a bottle to feed it, right? Give it mud. Lead it to a place where it can play in mud because pigs like mud, right? And then after that pig plays in the mud, then what might you do? Give it a bath, right? Nice warm soapy water. Give it a bath. What else might you do for the pig? Snuggle with it, or at least build a place or find a place that the pig could sleep. Yeah, so you could take a box and put a towel in it and find a room where that pig could sleep at night and feel all safe and warm. I think you could do that too. I think that's absolutely right. So why would you do all those things for the pig? To keep it safe. It's a baby pig, so you would help it grow, right? You would take care of it so that when the person who gave you the pig came back, it would be happy and healthy and good, right? So today in church, all this talk about pigs, you may be wondering why we're talking about pigs, and they're very confused out there. So here's the thing. Today we start a program in the church called stewardship. It's a time of year when people in the church are asked to consider how much to give to this church in terms of their money and in terms of the stuff they have. That word stewardship is a weird word. It actually comes from an old English word that literally is stywarden, which means one who takes care of somebody else's pig. That's what that word means. So what we're going to be asking the adults to do for the next month is to think about how they might take care of God's pig. In other words, how they might take care of all that God has given them, how they might care for it, nurture it, and how they might give it back to the church to take care of the poor and the needy and to help the ministries of this church grow and grow. So for the next month, I want you and all of you to think about what would happen if someone asked you to take care of their pig. What would you do? Okay? Before you go off to Sunday school, let's gather in a circle and we can say a prayer. We're going to say a prayer that we know here at this church as the Lord's Prayer. And I invite you to say the words out loud if you know them. And if you don't know the words, listen and we will teach it to you. Let us all pray. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, you can go off to Sunday school.
I'm here to invite you to take a journey with me, a journey of blessing, the theme of our 2015 stewardship campaign, which kicks off today. Look around you at this beautiful building we are in and of which we are the stewards, at the friends and family who join us here today, at the beautiful area in which we live. We are truly blessed to be a part of all this. Our journey takes us forward to reflect on current blessings, but also on those past. We face a significant challenge this year. As you may have read in Brent's October newsletter, we have lost some key members of our church over the past year and a half, people who gave of their time and talent, and people who were some of our most generous givers. Their loss means it will be up to us to step up and come up with an additional 15% in giving this year to continue their legacy as we continue our own. There are many ways of giving, and many of us have given of ourselves in ways other than monetarily. But this is a time of year when we reflect upon our financial commitment to this church. There is good news and hope as we continue to attract new members and grow our congregation, but that isn't enough. We will all need to spend the next few weeks reflecting upon our ability to increase our pledge for this year's campaign. Our first mailing will be tomorrow. Pledge cards will be mailed at the beginning of November. And we are asking everyone to come to church on Consecration Sunday, November 16th, with their pledge cards. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me. I hope you will take time to reflect on the challenge ahead and help us to continue on our path towards making this a better and stronger place for our worship and our ministries. Come with me on a journey of blessing. I look forward to making that journey together.
Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2, the call of Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you.
I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing.
Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, God of love and life, God of renewal and grace, send your spirit down here among us and open our hearts to welcome its coming. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are a certain set of questions that begin very early in our life. They begin and they are repeated. They become comfortable. They become a way of thinking and a way of living. They start maybe when we are little Noah's age, or maybe Willa's age, or certainly by the time we are Bronwyn's age. And they are questions that go like this: what do you want to do? What are you good at? What are your passions? All of these questions are right and they are good. All of them lead to a life of introspection where we consider the gifts that we have been given by God and how we might use them in the world, where we set our eyes and our sights on places we might yet go. And all of those little questions early in life lead to that inevitable and sometimes awkward question. What do you want to be when you grow up? Not so awkward when you're 8 or 9, but when you're 20 or 30 or 40 and they're still asking you what you want to be when you grow up, it gets a little more awkward. Of course, even when we can answer that question, the questions don't end. They're simply replaced by other ones. Questions about family, about career and retirement. Questions that fundamentally ask us, do you have a plan for your life? Do you know where you're going? And do you know how you're going to get there? Those questions, they become second nature. They start to become a natural way of thinking and even a way of living. One that starts with our gifts, with our desires, with our interests, and then points us and our life's mission somewhere else. It's a way of life and thinking that provides not only the path upon which we walk, but it gives us a destination there over the horizon to seek out, and all based on reasons that we believe are good and desirable. It is good and helpful. It's a great way of growing up and living and thinking. It gives us something to work towards and to strive for. And all of those questions and all of that thinking and all of that way of living is nearly opposite to what faced Abram that morning in the fields. All of that planning and looking in, all of that discernment and deciding where we want to go is nearly opposite of the idea of a calling. But yet, it doesn't have to stand in opposition to it. For you see, when God calls, there is always the invitation to deepen who we are and what we know, not to destroy it. When God calls, there is always the opportunity to find that truth that transcends our best thinking and puts us towards a new destination that goes beyond what we might have dreamt for ourselves. I wonder what that young Abram, the one who would eventually become Abraham, I wonder what he was thinking that day in the field. I wonder what his particular gifts were. I wonder what his desires in life were. I wondered to where he has pointed his life, what path he has put himself on, to what destination he was headed, and why in his heart and his mind he thought that it mattered. I wondered what dreams Abram had with his wife Sarah. Was Sarai, the one who would become Sarah. I wonder what excited them about the future that lied before them. I wonder what they dreamed about in those precious moments locked in each other's arms before they fell asleep at night. I wonder what Abram was thinking about as he was out there in one of his father's many fields tending the flock when that call from God came. Suddenly, the path that was before him, his compass, his destination, they all changed, and suddenly there was a new path laid before him, even if he didn't know much about it or where it went. And there were new destinations and blessings to be found and lived into. Like our own plans and dreams, while the call might be sudden and unexpected like it was for Abram, living into God's call takes time, it takes patience, it takes openness, it takes thinking and living in whole new ways. Abram's call is not the only one in the Bible. There are many calls that have been answered. Some of them are dramatic. Do you remember Moses? He was out also tending flocks when he came upon the burning bush. That was the way God made a call on Moses' life. Isaiah, His may have even been more spectacular. There were these six-winged seraphim who were singing praises to God, all while they held up a smoldering coal to his lips. And then there are the calls that are more subtle. The prophet Samuel, he was lying on his mat in the temple in the middle of the night when he heard God whisper over and over, calling his name. And then there was Mary, a young girl simply at home going about her daily business when there was a knock on her door and an invitation left before her. The calls in the Bible are very, very different, and yet they share a couple of things in common, a couple of things that I hope you keep on your hearts and your minds as we enter this stewardship campaign. Because if there's one thing I want you to do this year that may be different, may in fact be opposite to the way you've done it every other year, is that this year, when we think about stewardship, especially facing the kind of challenge that we are, I want you to do less of the planning and thinking. I want you to do a little bit more of the listening for God's call in your life. I want your journey to resemble more of a calling than a planning, one that starts not with a focus on ourselves or our budget or our pocketbook, but rather one that starts focused squarely on the divine, one that comes to us rather than one that comes from us. It may not be the way you're used to doing it, but it also doesn't have to oppose the way you do it. This year, when you get that pledge card in the mail in early November, I want you to look at it as not something to fill out, but something to respond to as a calling. And so if we look at the Bible and all the calls that are in it, there are a couple things to keep in mind. If you read the Bible, you won't find a single example of a calling that came about through somebody's own effort or work. Calls in the Bible are always invitations. Neither Abram, nor Moses, Mary, nor Samuel sought out the calling that was placed before them. Instead, the calling came to them, and almost always in the Bible, in the midst of their everyday regular life as they were going about business as they knew it. Think about when Jesus called disciples. He didn't do it from a long list of applicant pool. He didn't go to the temple to seek out those who might be most holy or most observant. Rather, as Professor A.J. Droege writes, Jesus called ordinary, indeed disreputable individuals, fishermen and tax collectors who showed no particular gifts or disposition toward a life of ministry, where both they and indeed the world would be transformed. And if you think about this calling, God never gives us a calling in opposition to who we are and where we're headed, but rather something that builds on it. Do you remember Jesus turned to those fishermen and he said, "No longer will you be fishermen. Instead, now you will be fishers of men." Our thoughts, our dreams, our destinations give way to God's thoughts, God's dreams, God's destinations, and they build upon one another. They do not compete with one another. Now, here's the thing. If you're going to listen for God's call, how is it that you do that? We live in a world of distraction. We live in a world where there is noise 24/7. And because I don't anticipate that anytime soon you are going to stumble upon a burning bush or some six-winged seraphim flying around, if you do, please let me know. I don't know that you're necessarily going to encounter the incarnate Son of God walking down the street. We need to find new ways of making ourselves available to hear that calling, and part of it simply means quieting our minds and our hearts. Because sometimes, like to little Samuel, God whispers in the middle of the night. Or like to Mary, God knocks on the doors to our hearts. So here's what I want you to do. Each day, or at least regularly, or hopefully at least here on Sunday, set aside some time in the next month to quiet your minds and simply invite God in. Prayer might be the most tried and true, the most orthodox and common way to do that, and I would invite you to do it. It's great, but if prayer seems hard for you, I would invite you simply to find some quiet time and go for a walk. Leave the iPhone and the headphones at home and simply open yourself to what God might be saying. Or at this time of the year, go find a bench and sit outside and gaze at the beauty of creation. Free your mind and just open yourself up. Start with God, not with you. Shortly before John and I got married, we came to one another and we said, our lives would be better, we think, if we actually prayed together beyond mealtimes. He and I had always prayed separately, and we pray at every meal, but we said to each other, our lives would be richer if we managed to somehow pray together regularly every day. We don't. We would love to, but we don't. But I will tell you this, there is one time of the year where we actually do. There is one time of the year where we sit down every year and pray together. I don't know why, but it's maybe the nudge of the church that prays us to think about stewardship, that thinks about God's calling on our lives. So every time at this year, we do something that we should do far more often. We sit and we pray together and we ask for God's blessing on our lives. We ask for God to open up our eyes and our hearts and our wallets and all we are and think about what we should give to the church. We always start somewhere. This year, I know that John and I will start with that 15% number that Stephanie talked about. We will know that we will increase our pledge by at least 15%, but then we will invite God in to the midst of our lives and see where God takes it from there. And I got to tell you something. Every year, John and I have done this. God has sent one of us a number that has made the other one initially nervous. A number that takes us well beyond our budget, well beyond what we think we could do. And each and every year, though, we eventually come around to the fact that that number is the right one because it won't let our hearts go. So whether we can afford it or not, whether it's easy or not, whether it causes us dis-ease or not, we follow it. And that is the second part of the calling I want you to think about. Fear not. Every single person who was called in the Bible suffered a little bit of dis-ease at their call. Abram may be a bit of an exception. He appears in this passage to simply get up and go. But along the way, it's clear that he isn't fully confident God's going to take care of him. So if you feel some dis-ease or discomfort about what God is telling you to do or where to go or how to get there, know that you are normal and that all the saints of the Bible who have come before you have felt that same dis-ease and discomfort. And yet God has shown them the way to go and the way to walk. And I'm confident God will show you the way to go and the way to walk too. I have no doubt that our future here is good and bright and beautiful. But I also know our future will be better and more bright and more beautiful, and not just because of how much money you choose to give this place, but if each of us in the next month take the time to open our hearts and minds to God's calling, to lead us in whatever way God wants us to do, to let go of our plans and our introspection and instead listen for that silent calling in the night, that we might like Samuel before us, like the hymn we sang this morning to start our worship, simply say, here I am. We do stewardship every year. It becomes so easy, like our way of thinking about life, for us to approach it as the way we always do, as a way of opening up our pocketbook and the church's budget and figuring out how we balance the two. This year, no matter where you end up, I want you to think about this story of Abram's calling, a story that took a young man from a field and sent him on a journey where he would find blessing upon blessing, and more than that, he would become a blessing to the entire world. Through him, we would all come to know the God we love and follow. So no matter what that pledge card ends up saying, No matter the destination you end up pointing yourself to, above all in this next month, I invite you simply to open your hearts and your minds so that when that whisper comes in the middle of the night, you can say, as we sung this morning, "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you will lead me. I will hold your people in my heart." Amen.
Please be seated. Each week here in this church, we gather the prayer concerns of those who have gathered here, both the joys of our life and the burdens we carry. We name them out loud, not just so that we can pray them here in this space, but so that each of us might take them with us as we go. Before I ask for those joys and concerns, I would invite you to take your bulletin and to open it to page 5 and set it next to you. During our time of stewardship, we will be singing the prayer response each week. We will be singing Kyrie Eleison, which simply means, "Lord, have mercy." It asks God to hear our prayers and to have mercy upon us. And so this morning, I ask you, with what joys do you come today? With what burdens do you carry? All right. We lift up birthday greetings and wishes to Triss. Happy birthday to you, Triss. Joyce. A double birthday. We celebrate Webb's birthday as well. Gigi. A joy that your son has bought a house in Lee and will be moving closer to you. Great joy indeed. Tristan. Doug, is it your birthday as well? Happy birthday. It's a birthday day, apparently.
I think with so many birthdays, you should say happy birthday. No, let's say no.
Later. Other joys and concerns, yes.
Small.
Amen indeed. Other joys and concerns. We lift up Thomas Bachman in joy that he is in Nepal and doing some ministry work there. We also pray for his safe hiking and his safe travels and his safe return home. Yes, Tristan. We lift up Max Stackhouse and your mother in our prayers this week as well. Ashley. We pray that in the midst of difficulty, we might share our joys and find light to follow. Prayers for Amanda, Logan, and Theodore.
I have a joy for my parents visiting this week.
We do give thanks for the visit of your parents. Ronnie.
Yes, prayers for Thomas, Madonna's son, who is in Afghanistan, where they've recently had an earthquake. Last time I spoke with her, she had not had contact with him.
We lift up Thomas and Madonna and hope that they be in contact soon and that Thomas is well. Yes, Tristan. We continue to lift up both those who have suffered and died from Ebola and those who have answered the call to serve them. Yes, Margaret. So Madonna has heard from Thomas. He is well and safe.
Thank you.
Quickest prayer answered ever. That's Terry.
Well, and just in light of the horrors going on with Ebola in Liberia in particular, I pray for the children who are losing so much of their life at this point in many ways.
We pray for the children who find themselves in the midst of the calamities of the world and are losing so much of their childhood and innocence as they do so. Elaine. I'm sorry. It is a joy to have Emma back with us. Welcome back, my dear. It is good to see you. Friends, this is a place where we lift up our joys and concerns, that we might take them into our hearts and onto our minds. I invite you now into a time of silence that you may do just that. God, you who know us better than we know ourselves, you who are closer to us than our next heartbeat, you who hold us in the palm of your hand, we come before you now as people on a journey, as people listening for your still speaking voice, as people in need of your grace. God, this morning we have shared our joys and our concerns, and yet we know they are only a fraction of those held by the people in this room. We've revealed to you, God, only a portion of the fullness of our lives. God, may your love, may the strength of your spirit and the bond of this community help us in the time of silence that is to follow, to bring ourselves more fully before you. God, here and now we close our lips and open our hearts to you. Throughout the ages, God, you have called us to care for sister and brothers, to welcome the breadth of humanity, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you. And so now, God, we bring before you our silent prayers. We bring our prayers for this world and all who live in it. God, we close our lips and open our hearts to you here and now. Finally, God, we live in a world so full of noise and distraction. We live in a world that tells us who we should be and how we should live. But God, we know that only you have that claim on our life, for to you we belong. And so, God, here and now, help us to let go of all those other voices and simply listen for yours. Let go of our distractions and insecurities, and let us bathe in the sweet river of your grace. God, we close our lips and open our hearts to your voice here and now. Loving God, we come before you as people on a journey, as people listening for your still speaking voice, and as a people in need of your grace. Hear our prayers, God, and fill our hearts. And most of all, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Amen. In the call of Abram, God said to Abram, I will bless you. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. It is in that truth that I now call all the people in this room who are going to walk in the construct walk to come right up here. Come up here that we might bless you, that you might be a blessing. If you are walking today, I know some of them are back in the Sunday school room, but if you are here and walking, please come down that we might bless you to be a blessing. She's coming right here, as if on cue. Sisters and brothers, we give thanks for you, for you. We give thanks for your ministry to Construct and to the people of the Berkshires. And so we as a church are about to bless you. Bless you that you might revel in it on your walk, but more than that, that you might be, as part of that walk, a shining light to this world. And so that through this walk, you too might be transformed and see the world in whole new ways. Friends, let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. God, you who have called the faithful into acts of justice and mercy. You who have lifted us up as on the wings of eagles. We ask you to bless these people. God, bless these people that their hearts and minds may be open as they walk through the streets of Great Barrington. Bless them that their lives and smiles may cover their face, that others may find joy through them. And God, most of all, bless them. That through this experience, they may hear your whisper, they may find your joy, they may find your love, and in doing so, reflect it to anyone who has eyes to see. God, bless them. Give them strength and endurance. Give them hope and love. And let us all say, Amen. Thank you all. Brothers and sisters, with thankfulness, I invite you now to give in gratitude and joy. With prayerfulness, I invite you to give in sacrifice and in love. And with hopefulness, I invite you to give in answer to God's call upon your own heart. This morning's offering will now be given and received.
Such a way as
God, we ask you to pour out your love in waterfalls of tenderness. Pour out your love, God, in waterfalls of tenderness on these gifts and all who have gathered here in your holy house. God, pour out your love in waterfalls of tenderness, that we and they might be transformed, that we and they might go forth into this world, that we and they might reflect your love and your life. And let us all say, Amen. Brothers and sisters, our time of worship here within these walls is drawing to a close, that we might begin our worship of God anew beyond these walls. Before you go, a couple of invitations. First of all, you need to come through those doors after worship. You need to come through those doors and find food and a table that is overflowing. Come through those doors and either wish our walkers well or give them a donation to help the needs in Construct. But whatever you do, go through those doors, partly so I can say hi to you too. Friends, let us close our worship in song. Sisters and brothers, may the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of her hand. And let us all say, Amen.